Hello, Monarch fans, and welcome to the Hudson Homers podcast. Thank you for joining us for our first five episodes. Kind of strange that we're already on episode six. I am Gary, and I'm joined by my co-host, CB. CB, how are you doing today?
Hey, man, I'm great. Interesting day yesterday, but I am excited about the week coming up. Should have some amazing weather for the games tomorrow on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I'm excited about this week.
Yeah, it's weird how, you know, we had the Rutgers week. And we went 1-3, but I felt fairly positive because we won that last game on Sunday. Now we've had a 2-2 week, and we dropped the last two of the week, and I somehow feel worse now than I did after that series.
It is funny how the way the game goes on Sunday can really, I mean, you could go 3-1 on the week, but if you lost Sunday, you come in and you're like, hey, you know, it just doesn't feel right. So yeah, but that not just losing, but getting stomped Sunday afternoon was made for a weird feeling in the mouth this morning for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely a weird one after I thought we got off to a pretty good start, but want to kick things off here with our Dollars for Dingers count. We only got one this week. It was against William & Mary with Kenny Lavari coming through with a two-run shot. So the Dollars for Dinger total is now 9, but Bucks for Bags.
Bucks for Bags. I'm telling you guys.
We are up to 35 steals. We're 35 for 39, so the perfecto streak on that is over, but 35 stolen bases at this point in the season. Pretty good.
I think Kyle was the first one that got caught, unfortunately. You know, but it happens.
Yeah, eventually you're going to run into someone who can throw you out. And then we had another caught stealing over the weekend that was a result of a double steal where we kind of intentionally got caught between first and second so that a run could score. So we're not perfect, but 35 for 39, I will gladly take that at this point in the season.
Yeah, 35 bags in 15 games is pretty great. I mean, you extrapolate that out, you're taking a lot of extra bases out of people.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into to recap the week here. We're going to start with the fun stuff. We're going to start with the game against William & Mary. Unfortunately, only got one of those in because of weather that was in the area on Wednesday. Just a pretty nasty washout day. But Tuesday, I felt like we just took a business-like approach to that game, did what we were supposed to do, and came out with the win.
It was a real solid win. I mean, that was one I wasn't able to get there, but I was able to kind of keep up with the stats. And, yeah, just the guys, you know, they did what they needed to do. Blake got off to a pretty solid opening, and all the pitching behind him, you know, really was very solid. You know, Bechara and Nick Sulpizio, another good outing. Kellen Davis bringing out the Raptor with a full inning. You know, Cool got in there toward the end, and Pond did another good closing. I mean, so again, the pitching really showed up well that day, and the hitting did. You know, Kenny really turned things around this week, and Kyle Edwards had a really great week, and they also got started with that on Tuesday. So it was good to see. I mean, William & Mary always plays tough. Again, they always, no matter what they got going on, they always show up and play tough against ODU.
And 13 total strikeouts for the Monarch pitching staff that day. Pretty good for a bullpen game. Blake gets the start. Blake gets credited with the win. Thought he threw really well, but I think the key moment from a pitching perspective in this game was when Vincent Bechara came on with one out there in the third inning. Bases loaded, one out. He gets two strikeouts to get out of that inning unscathed. Really great performance to come out of the pen early for Bash.
Yeah, Bash is tough, man. You know, he's one of those guys, when he's on, he's really, really good. He's, you know, I think that's the difference between him being, you know, a middle relief guy and him being a guy that could really go out and be successful. He hasn't really always been as consistent, but man, when he's on and he's really doing it, Bash is a really good pitcher and very tough.
Yeah, and you talked about Kenny Lavari. He definitely got things going early on with a two-run home run in his first at bat. Fourth inning, we kind of pile on a couple extra runs there with Edwards getting an RBI hit, Stephen Meyer getting an RBI hit. And we're up 6-0 through six, and it just feels like we took the lunch pail to the bud that day and hammered out a win.
Yeah, and again, the pitching, yeah, a couple of runs late overall. Everybody just kind of, like you said, showed up, punched the clock, did what they had to do and get that win. That's what you want to do. Take care of the teams you should beat.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, who knows what happens if we're able to get that game in on Wednesday, if it wears the pitching down more, gets us more tuned up, helps us keep that momentum, but either way, no game on Wednesday up in Williamsburg. I'm sure we'll get that tucked back into the schedule at some point here during the year. Flash forward now to Friday. Another weather-impacted weekend. End up going double dip on Friday with Saturday off, which was kind of unique. And ODU comes out and gets a 7-5 win to open up the series with the Huskies.
Yeah, another good one. You know, again, Kyle had a great day. Luke Waters, really good. Again, got to keep giving him props. He's been about our most consistent hitter, even though I think Kyle's probably been our best hitter. Luke Waters has been the most consistent. Boucher, another good game. And then, again, the pitching, you know, Hollibetz struggled a little bit. But after him, you know, Stephen Trone's been doing some great work. And, again, Kellen Davis and Jacob Gomez finishing things off. I mean, so again, you know, just all around, they kind of I think they had to come from behind. We had to come from behind.
And you're repeating a lot of the names that we've heard consistently throughout this season from the top of that order with Edwards, with Meyer, Waters, Boucher. They've typically hit somewhere between 1-4, 1-5 through the lineup, but they, you know, helped carry us through William and Mary and carried us through this game as well, with Luke going 3-for-4, driving in a run. Boucher was 2-for-4, drove in 2. Edwards 2-for-4. And credit to Rowan Massey, first career collegiate hit and RBI in that game, an infield single at a pretty critical moment when we did need to come back.
Yeah, Rowan's he's a good ball player. You know, his dad was a professional player with the Yankees, made all the way AAA, didn't quite get to the big leagues, but played AAA for a number of years. And Rowan's, he's a great athlete. I know him and his brother both played hockey in addition to baseball. And he's really getting himself some more chances. He and Jack Spites are trying to figure out who's going to be the first guy called out, really, when they need those kind of right-handed pinch hitters. And he's putting himself right in that conversation as a freshman.
Looking back on that game, you know, we got on the board first. It was kind of a back-and-forth game there. We tied it 3-3 and then got to 4-4. But really, it was in that seventh inning where we were able to separate there a little bit, starting with Rowan's RBI single that brought in Stephen Meyer, and then Alex Boucher with a two-run double down the left field line absolutely ripped that ball to put us up 7-4. We end up winning 7-5. You know, I thought early on, Hollibetz had a good first inning, gave up the three there in the second, but I felt like, and I'm watching the stream, so I don't have the best view of home plate, but I felt like he was getting squeezed quite a bit there in that second inning from the home plate umpire.
Yeah, I was for that first game, I was watching it the same thing. And I have not really seen a lot of umpires so far this year that I've been super excited about what they've been doing. There seems to be a lot of inconsistency from inning to inning, even at bat to at, but sometimes pitch to pitch. And so that's hard. It's hard for a pitcher. It's hard for the hitters. It's not really benefiting anybody.
Yeah, and I think because of that, Hollibetz ran up that pitch count. It was at 78 pitches through three innings there. You know, only gave up the three earned runs, but you have 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, hit 2 batters. Definitely not his best outing from a control standpoint, but he was able to limit the damage despite getting squeezed. And Stephen Trone came in for the fourth, pitched pretty clean, and he hit one guy, but for the most part, no hits, no runs, anything like that. Just a good ball game, I thought, back and forth. We took advantage of them in the fifth inning to tie things back up with just putting the ball in play, running some guys. That was the play where Luke got, you know, quote-unquote caught stealing going from first to second that allowed Meyer to score and kind of get us back into that ball game and have us take the lead. So it interesting small ball game. I mean, no home runs for us in that series against Northeastern, but they had a couple.
Yeah, the kid Lane had a – apparently this is what he does. He's a giant. But, you know, it's just, again, going to be an indication, I think, of how ODU is. I think in our best version of this team, they're not home run hitters, but they are this team that can go out and produce runs and create runs. We got some guys who can run, some guys who can put the ball in play, and some of these guys are really starting to trend in the right direction. So, again, I think people who've been, you know, gotten used to and loved the home runs the last few years, you might need to let that go and just start accepting just some good baseball.
It's a different team. We've been told that from the jump. I know we've been preaching it on here, and you're really starting to see it play out now with only 9 home runs through 15 games this season. But on to close this one out again, something we've seen quite a bit this season. Fridays, the last 3 innings belong to Jacob Gomez, and he was electric once again. 3 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts. Gets credited for the win in this one instead of the save. That's about the only difference from his other Friday evening performances.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got a guy that is just as much of an absolute bulldog and just a competitor and a fighter, when you could put a guy like Gomez out there on the mound at the end of a game, I mean, you'd be crazy not to. I don't know that his stuff is any better than anybody else's, but he is just going to compete and fight better than anybody else.
And you can feel that bulldog mentality. He's getting those strikeouts. He's chirping it up as he always does. And I really do feel like that rallies the team, even the guys that are hitting, that is getting them pumped up and giving them some confidence so they come to the plate. And we saw that with the runs being scored and being able to hold on to take that game one. You mentioned his name earlier, and I promise we won't mention it much today because I think we all want to erase the memory, but Alex Lane, we warned you about him in the previous Hudson Homers podcast episode that he is a monster. I think he had a 1.353 OPS coming into this weekend. That did not go down. He finished 6-for-13, two bombs, 10 ribbies, and was walked three times. The other person we talked about, Tyler McGregor, also had a great game. They've got some dudes at the top of that lineup, and they made their presence known on Saturday and Sunday.
And the funny thing is the scouts were really there to watch Mike Sirota, the center fielder, who is kind of off to a slow start, but he had an outstanding sophomore season. And you could see the tools there. I mean, he's a big, big athletic center fielder. I saw he was apparently drafted in the 16th round out of high school and didn't sign. So it's funny that he might be considered the best player on his team, but he's not playing the best. So that tells you the Northeastern's got some stuff. They can go do some damage this year, that's for sure.
They're definitely going to put up some home run totals. At least Alex Lane is. Sirota also had a great game. Really, Sirota, McGregor, and Alex Lane were tough guys to get out all weekend long. Really broke through on Sunday and put that game out of reach. But looking at that second game on Friday, coming out of the gate, it looked like it was going to be a super high-scoring, kind of crazy game with the person we've been talking about, Alex Lane, leading off there in the first as one of five Huskies to hit in their first five at-bats. Gets a three-run double to go up 3-0. They tack on another one there in the first. But we answered there in the bottom half.
Yeah, it came right back. Again, Luke Waters with a double scoring Kenny, scoring Kyle Edwards, and then Kenny singling. And Luke scoring, so you're back to 4-2, but then a bunch of zeros for the next five innings.
I mean, it was like somebody just turned off the offense when it hit 4-2. I don't know if the temperature dropped or what happened there at the Bud, but we didn't see anything else until the seventh inning. Northeastern was able to take advantage of some errors, getting some little singles through the infield, end up going up 6-2. And then tack on two more there in the eighth to go to 8-2. But I got to give credit to the lineup. I mean, they were not done yet. And Kenny Lavari breaking back out in a big way, gets a two-run double there in the eighth to make it 8-4, a little more achievable. But unfortunately, nothing could get going there in that ninth inning.
Yeah, Kenny that day, 3-for-3 with three RBIs and a walk. I mean, this is a guy who was – I think he came in the week hitting under 200. So he really was turning things around. Even – the outs he was making, you could see that kind of last weekend leading in. The outs he was making were line drive outs and right at guys, and so you could see the results. And for Kenny, it's got to be so much, I don't know about easier, but just better when you're a senior, so you've had success. It's not like he's a guy who has not had success at this level. He's had 3 years where he's been a starter pretty much every single game, so he's got to be able to look back and just say, look, I know what I'm doing. I know how to be successful. If I can just relax and find myself, it's going to work out. And you see clearly that's what happened here.
And yeah, you're right. He started having better at bats, I think, last weekend, started coming around. But this week he ends up going 6-for-14, hits a home run, has a double, drives in five runs, drew a walk. Really, really good down the stretch there in the Northeastern series. So good to see him officially come off the schneid to start the season and be fired up. I think we're looking for some other guys there to keep that up. I know it's a tough going right now for Tyser. He had no hits this week. Had quite a few at bats. Just, I know he is scuffling and trying to get better every game, but it's a tough going for him right now.
Yeah, he just looks a little in between. It looks like he's not making really good choices on what pitches to swing at. And then there's a little bit of it kind of reminds me of late in Fred McGriff's career. Tyser obviously is 6'7". He's a lot bigger than Fred McGriff's a large human. He's 6'4", 6'5", but he's got that kind of. He had the same way Tyser had is it's kind of that locked arms and not really covering the entire plate. And when you're 6'7", your arms as long as that, you shouldn't have any problem covering the plate. The adjustments up and down sometimes a little harder. That's why you have not seen a lot of huge hitters. And that's why Aaron Judge is such a different thing in the major leagues. There's the amount of guys you can list off the top of your head who are 6'6" or 6'7" that played Major League Baseball as a hitter. I think of like Frank Howard, Richie Sexton. It's a small list. he's having those struggles right now. So, you know, it's he's got to kind of, I think the focus for him just needs to be making contact and putting the ball in play. I think we got to, he's got to get, I don't know in his head, I don't know his approach, but it looks a little bit like trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I think he's just got to get back to put the ball in play, because for him, if he puts the ball in play, if he just hits the ball, he's going to hit the ball really hard, really far. He can hit a single off the wall as well as anybody. It's also hard when you do put the ball in play and the second baseman's out in right field. You know, something be a single for a lot of guys, they're gonna always gonna do that pull on him. So you just got to focus on putting the ball in play. And I hope Tyson's gonna be fine. I'd like to believe it. He's too good of a ball player not to be.
He really is. And it's tough to see him get off to this slow start when some of the other guys around him in the lineup are hitting pretty well. We've seen him kind of back inserted into that number four spot in the lineup with some really good guys ahead of him. Boucher hitting behind him and Lavari behind that. And if Lavari has it going again, I almost wonder if you see a little bit of a lineup shakeup where, you know, either Boucher or Lavari goes into that four hole and you can move Tyser down to six, maybe take some pressure off of him with his at-bats and let him just focus on his at-bat and making good contact rather than hitting behind those top three guys in the lineup where there may be a little more pressure to produce runs and hit the ball farther to drive them in.
Yeah, I mean, we're still going to see some changes in the lineup. You know, they're still really looking for somebody to take over second base, somebody to take over left field. Carter Sundeman and TJ Akin have been making some nice moves there. But, you know, I don't think the lineup is what it's going to be at the end. They obviously – Kyle Edwards at shortstop, Meyer in center field, Luke Waters in right field, Boucher at first, Kenny at third, and probably Holman catching most games is going to be your lineup. And then the rest, you know, Finney told me, he's like, I'm going to go with my nine toughest guys. Now that, like, the way he pointed out, might not be the most talented guys. He wants the tough guys, the guys who are really going to go out and really take that good, strong mental approach to things. So I think in the end, that's going to make the best results. So guys just got to show they're the toughest and they're going to have the best results.
Yeah. I thought Carter had a pretty good week. I don't know if it's enough to establish himself as the full-time second baseman, but he had a couple hits. I thought he had some good at bats. And Maverick Stallings, he also played pretty well, went 1-for-3 with a walk on Sunday. But I think this is the week where those positions can be up for grabs. You know, you got the two against Princeton. You've got the first conference series against Georgia Southern coming up. I've been impressed with TJ Akin. If you want to talk about toughness, I mean, a guy who's kind of, for the most part, coming off the bench in the pinch run situations, not afraid to bunt, lay one down, even though he was probably a monster power hitter when he was in high school. But I've liked what I've seen from him playing out there in left field. And I feel like he's gotten a little bit more playing time recently compared to Jackson Tone and Gavin Abrams, who have been kind of rotating in and out of left as well.
Yeah, TJ is definitely he's definitely got some work to do in the outfield, even though he's probably a better defensive choice than Tone or Abrams, just because Tone's a catcher who hasn't played much out there, and Gavin was an infielder probably until about last year. TJ and Carter, they're both, you know, it's as a freshman, sometimes you're going to have those mistakes and some things, but they're both really good ball players and good hitters. Like I said, they TJ right there being willing to bunt. He's excited about bunting too. I mean, he got that bunt single, and he was there talking with Ryan Fine, and he's like, I told you every time I got it. And so, you know, he's excited to do things to get himself in the lineup to help the team. So it's exciting to see. So you're hoping, you know, I think you're right with Princeton coming in. You know, nothing against Princeton. I love their pitching coach, Joe Homaker. He's a ODU alumni. But they're not as talented a team as ODU. And so it's a good opportunity to go out and really get some bats going and get the pitching kind of righted after the weekend. And you believe they should go out and really dominate Princeton these two games. That's what you'd hope. And then really get your head right, get everything feeling good going into the conference weekend.
And I would hope that they are pretty excited to get the opportunity to go play Princeton and go make a big game and run some scores up, because they were on the wrong end of that Sunday in the series finale with Northeastern. Before you could really blink, it was 11-0 Huskies in the fourth. All the guys that we have talked about from Northeastern were absolutely crushing the ball. It was kind of tough. It ended up being a bullpen day for us. Finney, I think, said this after the game, you can't give 13 free passes to a team with the top of an order like Northeastern and expect to win games. And we didn't. If we put people on base, they were driving them in.
Trent Buchanan, who'd been the Sunday guy, he jammed his thumb. I don't think he was doing anything unusual. It was just kind of normal baseball stuff, and just jammed his thumb. And so I don't know how long, what the timetable on that is, but so that kind of puts you in a position where you had to throw a Pond in there as an emergency, and they ended up using 8 pitchers, and it just kind of, it was hard for anybody really to find a lot of success. I mean, it seems like everybody that came in gave up, if not their own runs, somebody else's runs. I think Kyle Finn had the only scoreless inning of the day. He had the 7th inning scoreless. Guys showed stuff, good things off and on, but overall, yeah, I mean, you give up 17 runs, and like I said, if you walk that many guys, it's just tough.
You're correct. Finn had the only scoreless inning, and it was the 7th. They put up at least one run in every other inning. It's the first clunker game from our pitching staff of the season, which 15 games in against a really tough schedule is not necessarily a bad thing. You're going to have days like that, especially when your pitching plan kind of gets disrupted a little bit by an injury with Tripp Buchanan jamming his thumb. I hope he is all right and able to come back here quickly, because I really like the way that he's been progressing this season as that Sunday starter. So throws off your whole plan and really just, I think, set the team back a good bit from the jump. And Northeastern was, we thought that they'd be tired from this super long road trip they've had going all over the South, but they hit a different gear on Sunday at the plate, and it was pretty impressive to see.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like we were saying, they're very good hitters, and when you know the other guys have their whole situation kind of upended, then you're licking your chops. I mean, you start coming out, you're seeing guys who've only thrown one game, and you got Ben Moisan coming out making his season debut, and you're thinking like, hey, I'm gonna get healthy off these guys, and they did. Old Dominion scored 9 runs themselves, but at the same time, when you've got that big of a lead, you start pitching some guys that don't pitch all the time either.
They did, but I'll give our lineup credit of trying to stay in it and still trying to have quality at bats. I mean, Evan Holman had a nice double down the right field line to score a run. TJ Akin got an RBI single. And then even later into the game, you've got Kyle Edwards doing some good work. Stephen Meyer, Nick Miller got a triple that cleared the bases and brought 3 runs home. So definitely no quit in the lineup. They were still trying to have good at bats and build on it, but you get into an 11-0 hole in baseball on a getaway day, and you're not very likely to come back from that.
I mean, it's tough, but it was good to see. I mean, when they were down 10-0, you could just pack it in and say we're done, but they didn't. Our guys kept having good at-bats. And again, that's been a thing. The hitting has not really been good enough this year. So it was good to see, like, okay, look, we're still in this game. We still, scoring 9 runs is not a small deal. You got to go out and do your job and score some runs and get yourself.
This episode of the Monarchist Podcast is brought to you by the Pride of ODU Collective. Their mission is to elevate the experience of student athletes through name, image, and likeness, while also elevating the fan experience. If you or your business are interested in getting involved, you can reach out to us directly or go over to theprideofodu.com. That is theprideofodu.com. Thank you for listening, and go Monarchs.
Right, because the games really start to matter this weekend.
You are correct. It gets serious. Like, shit gets real starting this weekend with Georgia Southern coming to town. But want to talk a little bit about Princeton first, give you all some background on what to expect there, and then kind of maybe jump into our pitching situation going into the weekend with Georgia Southern. But Princeton, they're 2-8 overall. They just finished a game at the University of Richmond today, which is Monday. I saw in the top of the ninth it was 24-8 Richmond. It was not a good looking score. I have not checked it again, but
yeah, 24-8 is what they finished.
Yeah, 3 touchdowns and a field goal is not good on the baseball field. But yeah, dropped 2 out of 3 to UNC Wilmington. They got swept by UNC. The games that they won, they beat Wheat Wilmington once. They beat Navy 22-12 as the second game of a doubleheader. This game on Tuesday will be their 4th game in 3 days. So they're playing us Tuesday, Wednesday. They have Thursday off, and they have a 4-game set in Richmond against VCU with a doubleheader there that Saturday. So they are taking the punishment tour right now through Virginia.
This is a thing they do every year. It's just kind of, it makes sense with the way they, the weather up there in New Jersey and kind of what they can afford as far as going on trips. It's kind of easier to go on one big trip than a bunch of small trips. So they kind of work this out for their spring break every year. They pick tough opponents, and the hope is that when they get to the Ivy League, they'll be ready to go. Like I said, Joe Homaker is a ODU alum, great, great guy, pitched here in 2010 and 11. One of my favorite people I've ever met in baseball. And so, you know, I know the pitching staffs, they're wearing it right now. I think I'm looking right now, they have a 9.57 ERA through 10 games. I just know based on some of these guys, you know, seeing them here last year, a few of these guys are much better pitchers than that. But you hope the same thing ODU is hoping. Did you play a really tough non-conference schedule so that when it's time to play your conference, you're ready to go?
One name to watch out on the offensive side, Jake Coonan. He's hitting .333. Has four doubles, driven in 11 runs. He's really one of their better hitters. Starting pitching, not much to talk about there, unfortunately. And part of that is because of how tough of a schedule they've played. But Jacob Faulkner and Andrew D'Alesso out of their bullpen, they both look pretty strong. But then again, they probably haven't been in many high leverage situations. They're probably coming in when they're down by a good bit, not as much pressure. But a couple names to watch out for there. One thing as it relates to us and Bucks for Bags, opponents are 31-33 stealing bases off of Princeton this year. So I would expect that if the game is close at all and we're not just being jerks, we're going to take bases where we can take bases on Tuesday and Wednesday, probably early on in those games. Maybe bump up those Bucks for Bags or Bags for Bucks numbers that we're looking to supplement the dingers.
You got to believe you're a better team than them, but you also got to go out and show it. You can't just walk up and, you know, oh, yeah, we're better, we'll just phone this one in. Like, no, go out, grind out your at-bats, put the ball in play, and really just, just dominate these guys. Frankly, if you can win 30-0 2 days in a row, that's what you want to do.
I mean, our scorecards already look pretty crazy with all the substitutions we do. Wouldn't be a bad one to send a lot of different guys to the dish and get up, but you've got to show up and you've got to go do it. It's easy to talk about it, but you've got to go out there and perform, put up those runs, and then put yourself in that situation where those guys down the end of the bench that may not get a ton of at-bats this season are able to get a few quality ones here on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Absolutely. It's what you hope for.
And I want to pose this question before we talk about Georgia Southern and going into our conference schedule. But the starting pitching rotation, with what happened Sunday, you've got an injury, a jammed thumb, that kind of shakes some things up. But I have to think there's some consideration from Coach Fenwood right now about trying some of these really strong arms out of the bullpen that can give you 3, 4, 5, have been starters before, if it would make sense to plug and play one of them for one of these weekend spots based just on what we've seen so far this season.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Finney, and he definitely, I think I had mentioned on a podcast before about, you know, I think some guys are just more suited for relieving. And I pointed out John Hollibetz is a guy that I think is just mentally likes being in the bullpen. I think that pressure of late game does better for him. I think some guys, just for whatever reason, you start me out in the first inning, it's like, the pressure's there, but you have such a long game, or they try to save some of their stuff for later. It's like, well, you're not going to be in the fifth inning if you don't pitch well in the first. But some guys, when you throw them out there in the sixth or seventh or eighth, all of a sudden the gas is burning. So I think he's going to make some switches this weekend. I don't know exactly. I think one of them is going to be Hollibetz coming out of the bullpen, possibly Jay Cassidy starting to give you a couple innings. I think Finney's looking more to go to having some guys kind of be openers. And if you can get me a couple innings and I can have somebody else come out and throw 3 or 4 innings or 2 or 3 innings, and we can kind of piece the game together that way, we're going to make it happen. Because the starting pitching, I mean, we only had one guy throw 5 innings this year. And even then, I think it was Trent after he gave up 4 in the first, he pitched 5 innings. So go out and adapt, find what are we actually good at? We have a lot of guys who are very talented, and maybe nobody can really throw 5, 6 innings, but we have a lot of guys who can throw 2 or 3 innings. So just start doing that. He did tell me that Blake Morgan is going to start on Tuesday and then probably come back and start the game on Sunday against Georgia Southern. So that'll be a little different. And again, probably not expected to go really long, either one of them, but just go out and get us a good start. And we've seen between Jacob Gomez and Bailey Metella and some of these other guys at the end of the bullpen, you know, we can, and Brandon Pond. Brandon Pond's been dominant in relief. If some of those guys can come out and close things off, then that might be the key to success for this pitching staff.
So many of the runs that we've given up in a weekend series have come in the first or the second inning. It's like we can't come out of the gate firing from a pitching standpoint. And I think that makes a lot of sense to go use a guy that you can just treat it as a relief appearance. Come in and get me 1, get me 2 innings. Because you have so many talented arms in that bullpen. And you have a talented starting rotation too. It's just figuring out where are they going to be the most effective to you, exactly what you were saying. And I think there are guys like Jay Cassidy who could be stretched out to give you 3, 4, maybe even 5 innings, where if he was able to come in as a lefty and shake up their lineup a little bit, and then you come on with a righty in relief, then close with Jacob Gomez. You almost have to look at it as, you know, piecing the game out into 3 3-inning components, and how do you get through those 3 phases of the game with your pitching? Because we haven't been able to put together a good first 3 innings very often on these weekend series.
Finney was pointing back to, I believe it was 2019, when we kind of had to do something similar, where at that point having Jason Hartline come out to start a game. And, you know, with Jason, he was always, you know, breaking stuff and cutters and throwing mid-80s. And then following that up, we'd have Hunter Gregory throwing 3 or 4 innings out of the pen. So I think he's going to be looking to do something similar, find someone out of the pen who has some funk to him, somebody who maybe throw a sidearm, you know, have those guys that they can come out and get a good solid inning, maybe one time through the lineup, and then moving on to some of the relievers to do more. You look at a team like Tampa Bay in the major leagues, you know, they've done this, and some other teams have picked up on it. It's the kind of thing where if you don't have the personnel to go out and throw 5, 6 innings or 7 innings or whatever, then, you know, do what you got to do. Use your personnel the best way possible. Don't try to make guys something they're not.
I agree with everything that you're saying there. I'm excited to hear the prospect of Blake Morgan throwing on Sunday after getting a couple innings in on Tuesday against Princeton. I imagine he's probably needs a couple more starts before you could expect him to go 5 innings. But if he's able to return to that form that he had 2 years ago, that's someone that you could plug and play as your Friday starter to get you those first 5 innings. You bridge it with one, then give Gomez the last 3. I mean, that's a pretty good recipe for winning a ball game on a Friday, especially moving into these conference series where those are going to be hotly contested games to set the tone for the rest of the weekend. But you almost have to treat some of these weekend games now like you would an elimination game in the conference tournament, where, all right, you're going to – all arms are on deck. Anybody can throw. We'll figure out the next day. It's just fighting and clawing for every win, because that's what you're going to have to do in the Sun Belt. If you're looking at the teams in our league, there's no one that you can walk into and go, like, I think we will get 2 out of 3. It's we're going to have to fight to get 2 out of 3.
Yeah, the conference is so tough. And I mean, that's 30 games. You know, that's the majority of your schedule that, like you said, you every weekend got to say, we got to do whatever I got to do to win the game. And you got to really – you're going to hurt some guys' egos, because some guys are going to want to believe that they're the best option and that you were not the one today. Everybody's got to pull and together and say, we're doing this as a team and root for your teammates. It'd be amazing if Blake was able to stretch out and become that guy, you know, but even if he just ends up being the guy who can get us 3 solid to start a game, that right now, that's what we need. It's just someone to get off to a good start.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out this weekend, because you really don't get breathing room once you hit the conference series. And we really haven't had any to start, because our non-conference weekend series have been pretty tough. But there's not like all right, we're going to get the next 4 days to go figure this out. It's like, no, you've got East Carolina on Tuesday or Virginia on a Wednesday. There's no breather to try to reset what you're trying to do. You've got to make some pretty quick changes, and you've got to find out real quickly how that team mentality and team chemistry is going to stick together when maybe the 3 guys who have been your weekend starters are now 3 guys on the back end of your bullpen and there's someone else getting that start. It's going to be a good test for the leadership of this team and the coaching staff to keep everyone in that mentality of we need to win as a team and we need to find ways to win.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. It comes down to just the teamwork. Are you there for each other? Are we all here for the same mission and the same goal, which is to come out of every game with a victory? And if we're doing that, if we're all working together, trying to make each other better, like I said, that's it really does come down to some team leadership, because the coaches can try to, all they can try to do is put them in the best situations possible, and the guys still have to be the ones to do it.
Well, they'll get to test that out if there are some change-ups to the starting rotation this weekend, because like I said, shit gets real Friday. The Georgia Southern Eagles are coming to town. They've got a 7-8 overall record, but don't let that throw you for a second. They have taken a similar approach that Old Dominion did, and they have had an incredibly difficult non-conference schedule. They lost 2 out of 3 to Maryland. They dropped 2 out of 3 on the road at Mississippi State. They lost 2 out of 3 to a ranked Campbell team at home. Those are three very good clubs. I don't know how they were able to go down to Mississippi State and get a win on the road. And then Campbell has been red hot on the weekend, so stealing the game there. They are coming off of a sweep of Radford. So that's, in my opinion, kind of their George Washington of their season so far. And they were dominant. They swept that series. They did pretty well. They have a midweek on Tuesday against Kennesaw State at home. So they'll have a midweek just like we will. They do not play on Wednesday. But I'm telling you, this team is so much better than what the record indicates.
Yeah, and they also lost midweeks to Georgia Tech and Georgia. I mean, so again, like, it's just this was a tough schedule. I mean, frankly, Old Dominion is one of the less tough teams on their schedule, which just says a lot because Old Dominion, you know, this year and traditionally is a tough team. So they really had it going this year.
And looking through their stats, watching a couple of their games over the last couple of weeks, they are a team that's very similar to Old Dominion. They are not going to hit a lot of home runs. They actually have 7 on the year in their 15 games. So we actually have 2 more home runs than they do. But they are a team that will put the ball in play. They will draw walks. They will get hit by a pitch. They will do a lot of things on the base pass to get guys in motion. So you're almost going to see kind of a mirror image of Old Dominion in this game. One name to look out for is Josh Tate. He's their starting second baseman, can play anywhere in the infield. He's been their leadoff guy this season, hitting .373. He's got 4 doubles. He's driven in 7 runs, drawn 12 walks, only 5 strikeouts, and he's 12 for 15 stealing bases. So he is really their spark plug. If he's able to get on base, they're more often than not, they're able to get him home. So getting that first out of the game, if he's leading off an inning, getting him out of the way is really, really important. Sam Blancato is their center fielder. I think he can play some other spots in the outfield. Typically hits third in their lineup. Average is not impressive. He's only hitting about .235. He's got 2 bombs. He's driven in 14 runs. He is basically the person that drives in Josh Tate, who's their leadoff hitter. And also, very similar to us, that scorecard is going to be a mess Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because
they play a lot of guys looking at these stats here, don't
they? Oh, man, they plug and play just like we do for pinch runs, pinch hits, matchups, all of that. It's really look kind of like looking in the mirror a little bit.
Yeah, even more so. I mean, they got a lot of guys that have about 20 at-bats. I mean, they clearly they're trying to find their lineup also. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and I think similar to ODU in the sense that they're starting pitching for their weekend series, they haven't been great. Thomas Higgins, who's going to be their Friday starter, he has definitely done the best. He's got a 3.32 ERA, 14 strikeouts, 9 walks. So he's not a big strikeout guy, doesn't walk a whole lot, gets a lot of ground ball outs, a lot of fly ball outs, those kind of things. The rest of their weekend rotation's not great. Mitchell Gross is probably going to go Saturday. Ty Fisher is going to go on Sunday. Mitchell Gross has the worst ERA of the three at a 5.68, but he somehow has the lowest opponent batting average against at .239. So, you know, he's one that you're going to be able to get some walks, I think hit by a pitch, those kind of things, not so much putting the ball into play. But their bullpen has been pretty good for the most part, but I think they have struggled late in that 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, giving up a lot of runs there.
Well, I mean, it's like anything else. You got to go out, and if we can do what we can do, I feel like this team could be anybody. So, you know, Georgia Southern is certainly by far not going to be the toughest opponent we have in the Sun Belt, but they're going to be a tough opponent because, like I said, every single team in the Sun Belt is going to be tough. The thing is, it's a meat grinder. Conference play is no joke.
Yeah, I mean, I think even just trying to get the 20 wins in our conference is going to be a challenge for just about everybody. Your conference winner is probably going to be hovering around that 21-22 win mark, and you're going to have to catch people off their A game and play incredibly well to even get into that 21-22 win marks from conference play.
Yeah, very few opportunities for a sweep. I mean, even the very best teams of the conference against the very worst teams, you're still going to come out having to fight every single inning. So it's conference is fun. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed conference play. I mean, since we moved the Sun Belt last year, every weekend was – when we were in the CUSA, every single weekend was tough. And I've always felt like, you know, just following ODU sports in general – the last few years, whenever you're playing conference games, it's just a lot more fun. Even when you come in, somebody comes into you and you're like, man, this team's a dog, and they come in, you're like, they're a rabid dog, they're fighting tooth and nail. So it's exciting. Now we're getting to the fun part of the season.
I feel like we're definitely in the right conference for pretty much all of our sports right now, because even the teams that are orphaned a little bit because the Sun Belt doesn't have them, you know, looking like field hockey being in the Big East, that's a really, really tough conference to be in. Mm-hmm. Women's lacrosse is in the American, which is probably the second or third best women's lacrosse conference in the country. It's everywhere you turn. It's tough. I mean, even rowing is going back to the Big 12. So you know it's going to be tough going against Power 5 schools. But it's been impressive to see the Sun Belt rise from a baseball, like where they sit in the baseball viewpoint. And part of that's because we came over with Southern Miss, and Marshall's got a new ballpark, and they've got a lot of new buzz. But it's, I mean, it's tough. Like the American, the Sun Belt, I mean, those are not, in my opinion, like Group of Five type conferences anymore for baseball. Like those are the power conferences where you're seeing the dudes get drafted. You're seeing them make longer runs in the postseason, hosting regionals and supers. It's tough, but I feel really good about where the Sun Belt is as the baseball conference right now of, you know, potentially getting five, if not more, teams in.
Yeah, I mean, the Sun Belt is a top four baseball conference, and there's a ton of talent in it. I think it's even better because it's a place where they're having to build talent. I mean, when you're a Power Five school, it's very easy to just be like, here's an example. We lost a kid we had committed. He's going to Georgia. It's very easy when you're Georgia to say, hey, we're Georgia. We're a Power Five school. And people just go, yay, I'm going to UVA. All kinds of kids, right? It's a lot harder when you're, you know, Old Dominion or you're Georgia Southern, who I'd never even heard of till we joined the Sun Belt. But these are places where guys can go and develop, and they're going to find some guys who are not the ones who are the superstar, you know, best of the state in high school. And you're going to get some guys who maybe had to go to JUCO, or maybe some guys that went to those big Power Fives and needed a little more time somewhere else. Everybody develops in different ways. It's amazing. Harrison Didowick from Western Brand is a great example. He's there with UVA, and that's a kid who was extremely talented, and he was ready to go play in that big Power Five conference and be ready right then. And there's other guys who, I don't know their names off the top of my head, but went to UVA and rode the pine or didn't even get a jersey the first year, and they're somewhere else. You know, it's not because they weren't good enough to play at UVA or wherever, but it's just because that didn't work out. So the talent level is just as good in the CUSA, or in the Sun Belt. I mean, here I am getting confused with my comment. It was in the CUSA also, but it's just as good in the Sun Belt. I think it's better in the Sun Belt. And the sooner the kind of, I think, scouts realize that and start really taking advantage of it, because the minor leagues are a mess. They need more ready-made talent, so they need to start going and finding guys who can actually play ball instead of just guys who throw hard. The sooner that people realize how good the Sun Belt is, the better, because it's some excellent baseball.
It is, and it was fun watching it last year. It's, I think, even more fun this year, because I think we're better positioned going into this conference play season. But it's, there's just so many dudes across this league, and you know, watching them play a lot of Power Five schools and traditional powerhouses and going in and getting wins, like that's going to build for something really special for that Sun Belt tournament at the end of the year. But I know I mentioned women's lacrosse earlier. I know that team is a huge supporter of ODU baseball. Pretty much if they don't have a game, they are over there at the Bud. So I want to give them some props. Had a rough start to the season, but they've beaten VCU, which I don't care what sport it is, club, NCAA, whatever. Beating VCU is always a good thing.
Deckers, we don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like if there was an underwater basket weaving club at ODU and they wore ODU across the Jessica's VCU, I'm rooting for them. They beat Longwood, came back home and beat George Washington the other day. That is definitely a program on the rise. So I want to give them a shout out because I know that they are huge supporters of ODU baseball, and I see them all the time. So want to give them a shout out for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when my schedule allows me. They play some like Wednesday afternoon games. It's like, I can't get to that. But so I think they got one coming up here. It's like a Saturday, maybe either before baseball or a day when baseball is on the road, I can get back out there.
Yeah, I'm looking for another one as well. Cause you know, that American conference for them is different. Like Cincinnati's in there, Florida, Vanderbilt. It's a kind of a unique conglomeration of teams in the American, but they're a good crew that is on the rise. So if you can get over there to LR Hill to catch one of their games, maybe before or after baseball, highly recommend it. Go cheer them on. They've got some good things coming in the future for them. But for ODU this weekend, I think what I'm looking for is got to take care of business to get against Princeton. You got to go 2-0, and hopefully those are two convincing, easy, low-pressure wins. And then over the weekend, I just want to see us get to the top of the fourth with one, maybe two runs against us on the board, like something that is manageable. Cause I feel like we've been in so many early holes this season.
Getting out of the first three innings without being down 4-0 or 5-0 or 6-0 would be a huge, I mean, again, it sounds like the way Finney's going to attack and approach the game, just hopefully seeing if this opener can work. I like the plan. I think it's always made a lot of sense to me whenever I've heard it. So I'm with you. Go out, dominate Princeton. You know, you should. You're a better team than them. And then go out, take care of business against Georgia Southern. Let's come out of it with a winning weekend.
Get to those great arms in the back end of your bullpen with the lead. Like, I always look at that when I'm watching Major League Baseball. If my team can be up 2-1 going into the ninth, I feel good. 3-1, 4-2, whatever it is. Give that bullpen a chance to hold the lead for you. And saw some progression from the bats. Want to see that continue. Would love to see Tyser have just an amazing week. Like one of those two home runs, seven RBIs, like what we saw from Alex Lane from Northeastern. It'd be amazing to see that breakout from him, because now you're talking 1-6 in the lineup. They're back, and you can figure out 7, 8, and 9 with Holman down there as well.
I just really want to see guys just keep having good aggressive at-bats, keep putting the ball in play. Need a lot more with two strikes protecting the plate. I think we have too many guys that are trying to play the strike zone. I get sometimes the ball is 2 feet off and they're calling a strike. It's like, okay, you can't do anything about that. But sometimes it's right in the corner, and but you can't with two strikes take that pitch. You know, you can't play umpire. You got to want to hit. I always go back to thinking about you talk about guys from the Dominican Republic, right? And then those are the kind of guys that get the Vladdy Guerrero type, where there's like everything was the strike zone for Guerrero. And it used to be the phrase for the Dominican Republic, say you don't walk off the island, you hit your way off the island. And I want guys like that. Again, I don't need you to go swing at everything. Vladdy wants to swing at a ball that bounced. But, you know, you got to protect the plate with two strikes. We have too many times our guys are if you strike out, you strike out. But if you strike out looking, man, that sucks. Like, that's just not a good way to go down. That's not a competitive at-bat. So you got to protect the plate, foul balls off until you get something you can handle.
I'm right there with you. I am looking forward to it. I've got a coin flip if I'm either going to be down there for the entire weekend series or no games at all. So root for heads on that coin flip, because I would love to be down there all weekend.
Yeah, that's quite a coin flip. That's either everything or nothing.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's either sweep or swept. No in between for me.
Well, here's good luck on the coin flip, I guess.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Well, that's going to do it for us with the Hudson Homers podcast this week. We thank you so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe, leave us a review. I think we might have some merch giveaways in our future here if you leave us a review, but there is a new baseball shirt that's going to be dropping at odumonarchist.com. So take a look at that. We have some other ones up there for the Bud Bombers. Definitely go check that out. All of the money that we make on that gets donated back to the program. We keep none of it. So it's pretty cool gear. I know the first batch got delivered last week. There were some out at the Bud this weekend. Going to be more in the future and more for our other teams as well that you may support. We are just getting started into the merch game here and how we can give that back through ODAF and the Pride of ODU NIL Collective. But that's going to do it for us. Thank you all so much. I am Gary. Go Monarchs.
Hey, I'm CB. Go Monarchs.